It's now time for Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. It began as a podcast, went live on the net, and transformed into a full-blown empire. It's the only daily boxing talk show on the planet, hosted by the only guy with the balls to do it. Many have stepped into the ring. Many have tried to take the belt. And one by one, they've fallen. Another victim of the undisputed heavyweight champion of Boxing Talk Radio. Talkin' Boxing with Billy C is on now.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri, and it's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good day, good evening, whenever you're watching or listening. Hope you're doing all right today. Special shout out to all of our viewers on Fight TV. And if you don't have Fight TV on your handheld, including your phone, don't worry about it. Download our app. That's right, we have an app. Just go to Fight, that's F-I-T-E, fight.tv/Billy C and download our app today. Fight.tv/Billy C, download our app, watch the show on Fight TV, and as also get all the other shows and pay-per-views that are available exclusively on Fight TV. Go to fight.tv/Billy C. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located on beautiful St. Simon's Island in Georgia. Check out his website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, and check out why we love the pizza and the rest of the Italian cuisine up at Sal's. And especially for everybody that's in the WGIG listening area in Brunswick, Georgia, if you haven't checked out Sal's, go on to Frederica Drive, that is, and check out Sal's Pizza and the rest of his cuisine. Get directions, get the address, get the phone number from the website, salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or here's the phone number, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by Gawk Box. Hey, man, you want to get some stuff for free? You want to help our show out? Well, visit Gawk Box. Just go to our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the Gawk Box banner. And speaking of the BillyCBoxing.com website, it's been changed. Now, there are some little bugs in it and stuff, just like with our show. That we're working on. So bear with us with that. It should be 100% up and running by the next show, I would imagine. So check it out. It's pretty cool. So I think you guys are going to like it. And today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molino, From Bondage to Baddest Man on a Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold. And you can get a copy of this book literally while you're watching this show. By visiting Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. If you're looking to get a signed copy, well, just drop me an email, Billy@TalkinBoxing. That's TalkinBoxing, .com. Coming up a little bit later, we will have Dax Khan join us, and he'll give us the lowdown on social media, what's going on in the boxing world and social media. You know, for the last, definitely the last few shows, I've been talking about how I feel that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. has a really good chance of upsetting the apple cart and beating Saul Canelo Alvarez when they fight in a couple of weeks. Well, it was reported over the weekend that... Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. is pretty ticked off. Junior apparently is not showing up for training again and deciding he wants to change this and change that. And Papa Chavez feels that his son is bipolar, says he won't follow directions And what he means by that, he says, oh, run 6 miles and he runs 4, or he might run 10. You know, show up at 8 o'clock and he shows up at 10. You know, I've always said that he's got a discipline problem. And listen, if he's not giving it his all preparing for this fight with Saul Canelo Alvarez, he doesn't have a chance. Now, I got some fight results from the weekend, and we got some other stuff to talk about. But first, joining me right now is my man Sal, Rocky Senecola. What's up, Sal?
Good morning, Bill. How are you today, pal?
Well, I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing today?
Well, I don't know if it's not doing too bad. I hope it's not that you're not doing too good. But I'm glad. No, I hope you're doing well. How's the weather up there? I heard it was getting very mild for you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That's great.
It sounds like the winter's finally over. You know, it's something that you guys don't know about there. But have you had a chance to check out our new website?
Yeah, I was on it all this morning trying to navigate and find things and chat rooms and it's beautiful. It's fantastic. I just, you know me, with computers and technology, just took me probably a 5-minute learning curve to find where I can get into the chat room, stuff like that. My computer was loading too, and it's been acting slow. So
you appeared to do this show at the last minute, huh?
Oh, well, hey, no, that's what I'm saying. I was trying to find the chat room and everything else. By the way, how's the sound? Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. But anyway, let's move forward here, Sal.
Yes, sir.
And let me ask you this. You know, the news that we're talking about with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., Papa Chavez feels that he's not giving it his all. What's your thoughts on this, man?
You know, this is one of the things I was concerned about, and you and I expressed it. Which Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is going to show up to the fight? The one that is focused, is rising to the occasion, knows that this is maybe a make or break, do or die situation, and gives it his all, digs deep. You know, that's what I'd like to see. That's what we'd all like to see. Now, is this just rhetoric and words coming from his camp to try to keep Saul Canelo Alvarez complacent about the fight? I don't know. I wish I knew. But if these words are true, and if Papa Chavez is this concerned with what his son is doing or not doing, then we've got a pretty big issue here and a big problem, because you know what? Saul's going to probably roll right over him if this is the kind of Chavez that's going to show up.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been very adamant about you know, Junior having a chance, maybe I was jumping the gun a bit, but anyway, some other fights that we'll talk about real quick that took place over the weekend. Some interesting fights. You know, we had the holiday weekend, of course, so there was you know, people doing a lot of things, but a fight that I'm not sure if you got to see it, Sal, but coming from us from Scotland, Ricky Burns put his title on the line and fought Julius Indigo, or Indongo. I hope I'm not murdering his name too much. But let me tell you something. Indongo dominated this fight. I was I thought maybe he would not get the proper score, but he did. All three judges scored the fight as follows, 120 to 108, which, you know, you can't argue too much with that score because, I mean, in my opinion, Indongo dominated the fight from start to finish.
That's a shutout.
I mean, it was a shutout. And there were times when Burns did throw some punches and stuff, but Indongo just didn't stop. And the other thing was he seemed way bigger than Ricky Burns, but nonetheless, 120-108, 118-110. If you wanted to give Ricky Burns a couple of rounds, that score is pretty realistic. But the one score that was out of whack at 116-112, I can't even see 116-112. I mean, the best is you throw two rounds to Ricky Burns. And I'd go with the 118, 110. But 120, 108 is not out of the realm. Nonetheless, Julius Indigo improves to 22-0 with 11 knockouts. Picks up both belts now. He's got the WBA and his IBF. The bottom line is now people are talking about a unification between the WBC and WBO world champion Terrence Crawford. So I don't know how he would fare against Crawford, but if he fights aggressively, we'll definitely get to see how Julius Indongo's chin is. But I enjoyed the fight. Also on that card, in a tough fight, close fight, that really, again, I don't know if it was as close as the score, but Robbie Barrett won a 12-round majority decision over Scotty Cardell, 115, 113, 114, 112, and one judge saw it even at 114, 114. I believe Barrett did win the fight, and I think the worst-case scenario, the score was 115, 113, so the other two scores were trying to give the local product the nod. And two other fights. In the cruiserweight division, Lawrence Oakley knocked out Lucas Ruzewicz in the very first round to improve to 2-0 with two knockouts. But the fight that interested me, Sal, was Josh Kelly. And Lawrence Oakley was also a 2016 Olympian, as is Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly came out pretty cocky, making his pro debut, fighting a six-round fight, which I give him a lot of credit for.
Wow.
But came out pretty cocky and went the distance with Jay Byrne, 59-55 of the way. All three judges scored it to give Josh Kelly his pro debut win. But what's your thoughts on somebody coming out? I mean, granted, he had a very successful amateur career, and starting out as a pro, jumping right into six-round fights, but being a little over cocky. I mean, this guy was fighting with his hands down and everything. You know, I always say, Sal, habits are hard to break, whether they're good and bad. And whether he was taking his opponent lightly and trying to put on a show, it's bad to get into that kind of a habit. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's bad to get into that kind of habit. But to enter the professional ranks in a six-round fight and acting cocky like, hey, yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I wish him the very best. I think he's going to have some humbling experiences as he moves up in the ranks and fights better and better opponents. But we'll keep our eye on him. Yeah, you don't try to be cocky, and especially your pro debut. It's one thing to be confident and to put on a little show, but it's one thing when you're just totally having disrespect or disregard and acting cocky, like you know something that nobody else knows. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll
no.
Let's keep an eye on. Let's keep an eye on this guy.
No, he is a good guy to keep an eye on. I liked what I saw. Welterweight, so we'll see what happens. Some other fights that took place over the weekend. Friday night on Showtime. He's an interim champion, and what I like about this interim, and of course, when you mention interim, the next word is the preceding word is WBA. But he's a WBA interim light heavyweight champ. And supposedly, and when you listen to the commentators, which I try not to do, but, you know, they're like, well, this is a big test for him and this and that. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I can't stand, I don't care how many fights he's got, because obviously he's only got a handful now. But the truth of the matter is once you got a belt, you know, stop saying he's developing.
Man.
You know, yeah. So, well, anyway, he fought the toughest fight to date against Samuel Clarkson. And knocked out Clarkson in a stoppage that was pretty impressive. 1 minute and 40 seconds of the fourth round. I love this kid, Bivol. Sal, did you get a chance to watch this fight?
No, I did not. You know, we got slaughtered with just the holiday weekend. You know, we've been just nailed. And then we lost cable. We lost internet. We lost everything. The winds and everything else. We had craziness since the storm Matthew blew us out. We're on a very fragile note with our technology on the island.
Well, listen, I will say this. Go back and try to review that fight because it was a good one worth watching. And Bivol, Bivol's a guy that is definitely worth taking a look at to see what he's going to do as time goes on. One other fight I wanted to mention, It was a disappointing fight in a sense because a lot of us wanted to see Sullivan Barrera fighting Artur Beterbiev, and that did not happen. Instead, Barrera chose to fight Paul Parker, who went into the fight with an 8-1 record. Sullivan Barrera was 18-1, and as we talked about on Friday, Barrera had no problem with Parker, even though many people felt that the fight was even for the first few rounds. It ended just the way we thought it would, Barrera knocking out Parker. It was the fifth round when it was officially stopped. But in the co-main event, Vaughn Alexander, now Devon Alexander's brother, who was been sitting in a jail cell for a while, has improved to 8-0 with 5 knockouts when he beat Andres Calixto over 10 rounds in the middleweight division. The way the judges scored it, one had it 100-89 and two had it 99-90. Like I said, Alexander improved to 8-0 with 5 knockouts, and Calixto dropped to 14-4. This is a kid we should keep an eye on, Sal, because many people felt that he had more talent than his former world champion brother, younger brother too, Devon Alexander. So he's trying to pick up where he left off before he went and did, I believe, 8 years in prison. So keep an eye on Vaughn Alexander, man.
We will.
He's definitely worth. Sal's sometimes very very to the point and a few answers, right? But anyway, I got some emails. I got a email to read, and we're gonna get my man Dax on the phone here in a minute. But first, let me take a short break, and when I come back, I got some Major League Baseball scores to catch you up on. Also, we're in the NBA and NHL playoffs. I'll get you caught up on those. And we got an email to read. We'll give you our thoughts. We get Dax on the phone. All that stuff is coming up in 2.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get 2 free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now, or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you. I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning.
Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. And don't forget about Gawk Box, will you? Yeah, just visit our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the Gawk Box banner and check out what you can do and what you can help us with, too. So you benefit and we benefit. Gawk Box, check it out. Sal, in Major League Baseball yesterday, on Easter, the O's topped, which stands for Orioles for you non-baseball fans. The Orioles beat the Blue Jays 11-4. The Tigers topped the Indians 4-1. The Brewers over the Reds 4-2. The Marlins beat my Mets in a Bottom of the ninth, walk off, two-run shot. That Sorry, really Bill. Ticked me off. 4-2, the Marlins beat the Mets. Marlins wow. always give the Mets trouble. Red Sox beat the Rays 7-5. Braves over the Padres 9-2. The Nationals had a tough time but came out on top over the Phillies 6-4. The Royals blanked the Angels 1-0. The Rockies over the Giants 4-3. The White Sox over the Twins in 10, 3-1. Mariners in a slugfest against the Rangers held out to win 8-7. Diamondbacks beat up the Dodgers 3-1. The Pirates topped the Cubs 6-1. The A's and Astros game was postponed. And in the late game, the Yankees continue their winning streak and beat the Cardinals 9-3.
Yeah, so,
that's what took place.
That.
Yeah, that's what took place in baseball. And just to get you caught up in the playoffs, first the NBA playoffs, the Wizards beat the Hawks 114-107 to take a 1-0 lead. The Warriors really hammered the Trailblazers 121-109. They too one game lead. Also with a one game lead, the Bulls squeak by the Celtics 106-102, and the Rockets take a one game lead over the Thunder 118-87. Over in the National Hockey League, the Blues beat Minnesota 3-1 to comfortably take a 3-0 lead in that one. The Penguins, they also have a 3-0 lead over the Blue Jackets. They won 5-4. The Canadiens, they beat the Rangers 3-1 to take a 2-1 game lead. And the Edmonton Oilers beat the Sharks 1-0 to take a 2-1 lead in that one. So that's what took place outside of the sport of boxing. But, Sal, I got an email. Let's read it. This is from your buddy Joel. He says, hey, Billy C. and Sal, did you have a wonderful Easter? I had a really good Easter. How about you, Sal?
Yeah, it was pretty good. We enjoyed it. You know, we had a little church, and my girlfriend and her son, we went out to her brother's in the country, and we had a good time. It was a fun day. You know what I did? No. You want me to tell you what I did? No. We'll skip it.
If it had something to do with if it had something to do with Easter eggs. But anyway, Joel says, did you and Sal get a chance to watch Julius Ndongo against Ricky Burns yesterday? I found it pretty impressive that Ndongo was able to just about outclass Burns. Now being the owner of two belts at 140, do you think he will set up a fight sometime this year to fight Terrence Crawford? I love the fight. Like I had said earlier, Joel, I thought the fight was very impressive. From him, he started out fast-paced and didn't let up. He was bigger, stronger, and beat Ricky Burns to the punch. You know, contrary to what people thought, well, at least what I thought Ricky Burns would come away and win the fight. He always starts a little slow, and his fans were trying their hardest to get him into the fight, but it just didn't work. Ndongo took it to him. And as far as a unification fight, I would think it's going to happen. You know, Terrence Crawford is looking for these kinds of fights. It would be interesting to see how he fares against Julius, because Julius seemed very big. Now, Ricky Burns has moved up in weight a couple of weight classes, so maybe that was an indication that he maybe moved up a little too much. But he has been around a long time. And this kid, I would like to... Yes, the answer for me is yes. I think that... a unification fight with Terrence Crawford is justified. And Sal, I mean, to unify the belts in any division, I mean, that's the name of the game, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, why have all these belts unless you can declare one a real champ by unification? I'm doing a little rhetoric and a little bit of a joke, truth and jest in there.
Okay, I'm glad you explained yourself to us.
I mean, just a little sarcasm. Yeah. Yeah, let's get a million belts and see. Let's try to get them together to see who's a real champion out of the so-called many champions.
Exactly. He says, lastly, I was curious if you heard that Brandon Rios will return to the ring from his so-called retirement to fight on the undercard of Ramon Alvarez and Omar Chavez, too, in case you guys... forgot Ramon Alvarez and Omar Chavez, the brothers of Saul Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., respectively, have already fought, and Alvarez came on top. He says the fight's going to be taking place in a few weeks in Mexico. Do you feel he can return and be the fighter that the networks want him to display, or that he has too many issues making weight and being focused, that this will spiral out and that he will just fail in his return to your return to boxing? What's your thoughts? You know, I've always been a fan of Brandon Bam Bam Rios. As far as him not making weight on a consistent basis, again, it falls into discipline. It's not like he's such a big fighter and is trying to squeeze into a lower weight class. You know, he does seem to come in shape. I think he made his money when he fought Pacquiao. You know what? It all depends on the desire from this guy, boys and girls. I mean, if Brandon Rios, he's still fairly young. He has been in a lot of wars. His fighting style, you know, makes for a short career. I just hope that he's not making a mistake by coming back and dragging it on. But I think if he's disciplined and serious about it, I think he could make some waves. What's your thoughts, Sal?
Well, yeah, exactly just what you shared with everybody. I think, you know, if he's disciplined, if he takes it like, you know, you got to go in, especially when you're later on in your career. You still have to have the enthusiasm. You have to approach it like this is not only maybe your first fight. You got to come in big, but it's also maybe your last fight. You got to go out big. So either way, you should look at each fight that you are in a later stage of your career with the enthusiasm, the fervor, and the excitement and the training discipline, like this could be your first and maybe your last.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, obviously he has, you know, been successful in the past. And, you know, we'll see what happens with this comeback. He did retire. Hopefully the drive and the desire is still there. You know, so
well, and that's it, the drive, desire. Like I said, the prize always has to be worth a price to somebody. And if you have the incentive and that prize that you are going to shoot for is worth the price, then you know what, you got to pay that price. You got to sacrifice, you got to be disciplined. And like I said, Bill, not to be repeating myself, but the thing is, you know, it's like when I made my comeback, I had to approach it from a long period of time of being off. Like the enthusiasm, it was my first fight. Like I'm getting excited. I'm getting ready. I want to do everything right. And like, guess what? This may be, and it looks like it is, my very last fight. I want to go out big. I want to do the best I can. I don't want to have any excuses, anything else to say. And that was it. And that's what each fighter should look at their fights in all stages of their career.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean,
fire in the belly, man. Fire in the belly. This is not a cakewalk. This is a very dangerous sport. It's one that can make or break. And like every fighter, it's like I said, they're only viewed and only as good as their last fight. So you know what? Of boxers, it's a serious game, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? You got to be careful, but you've got to be able to enter that ring. You're as close to 100%. You're never going to be 100%. You're going to have a little soreness here, a little thing there. But you do your best, and your head is one of your best weapons right there, where your mind is. So you have to have the focus, the blinders, and the desire, the heart, and the passion to win and win big. And that's it.
Yeah, Vander Holyfield, he said the same thing, that his head was an important weapon. And that was because he used it. As a weapon.
Tyson's but teeth was also a weapon.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have Dax Khan join us. We'll be back in two.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you. I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning.
Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. And, you know, I tell you what, don't forget about downloading our app. That's right. It's up on Fight TV. Go to F-I-T-E, fight.tv/Billy C. You know, my topic today really is what's going on with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. You know, I've been pretty vocal about feeling that he's got a better than good chance of being not only competitive, but upsetting Saul Canelo Alvarez. But some reports over the weekend from his pops and his training show an indication that maybe he's not going to be doing any of that. Maybe he's going to be doing the same thing that we've become used to, and that is, you know, not taking training seriously and not giving it his all. But joining me right now and joining my man Sal is Dax Khan, and he's going to give us his thoughts. Dax, what's your thoughts on the latest on Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.?
Well, it's a little bit surprising, considering, you know, I heard everything was going very well. So, as far as what they're saying, who knows, it could be a mind game. You know, the stories that I've heard are conflicted. So, hopefully he is taking it a little bit more seriously, and hopefully he is going out there, and he's doing what he's supposed to, or else, you know, he can be blowing the biggest opportunity of his career, which I believe this is the biggest fight of his career, and it's going to decide where he goes from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised because I thought that, you know, I mean, you know, I've said before, how many chances do we get Junior? And, you know, he's finally getting not only a chance to redeem some previous, you know, fights that he hasn't really given it his all, but, you know, he's got a really good chance of not only doing that, but he's in a position to make a nice payday. And he seemed to start off taking it serious, and now the latest news is saying that, you know, basically what I'm seeing, Dax, is that he's trying to call all the shots when he kind of put that in the hands of his father and his trainer. He's working with Bernstein now and all of that. I mean, when does a fighter have to bite the bullet and listen to the people around him?
He should. You know, a fighter has to have confidence, first of all, in his corner. And, you know, his corner are the people that are looking out for him, and they're going to help him secure that victory and to be in the best shape as he can be in, physically and mentally and emotionally. That's the whole camp around you. Isn't that correct, Dax?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and Chavez is a guy who just doesn't seem to know exactly what he wants to do or where he wants to do it, and that's been a problem his whole career. And I always have believed that Chavez Sr. has been one of the biggest issues for him throughout his career.
What do you mean? I thought that, you know, he was a positive, and I think that the fact that Senior, I think he gets frustrated that Junior doesn't follow the same protocol and same mindset that he did. I think that that's the biggest problem between those two.
And that's an issue. You know, it's an issue that we've always seen with fighters, with the sons of a father who was a fighter, especially one, a famous fighter who has the status of a Chavez Senior. You know, they're expecting their son to do everything their way. You know, it's much like being a parent in general. We want our children to do things the way we do it. Things are different. It's a different time. And, of course, I can see the points where he's slacking, he's not doing his training. But in the sense of where these parents that we see all the time with their children, as they work their corners, you know, they expect their children to be mirror images of exactly how they used to be as a fighter. It's not going to happen. That's one of the reasons why Hector Camacho Jr. failed because Camacho Sr. expected Jr. to be a mirror image. And it's kind of dejecting for the kids. And, you know, when the father is over there constantly just in their ear and jabbing, not giving them a break, it pretty much, you know, makes them wipe their hands and walk away. And the public expects you to be just like your father was. So, you know, it's a tough situation to be in. You know, I can't really think of too many fighters, you know, father-son combinations where the father was a successful fighter and, you know, the son continued, took up the sport as well, that it went successfully.
No, the only one that comes to mind, not that he was as successful as his father, but they seemed to get along pretty well, was Buddy McGirt and his son. Well, actually, I mean, we got to give the Porters credit too. But Dax, your thoughts on a couple of fights from the weekend? First and foremost, Ricky Burns losing to Ndongo in Scotland, and I felt that I was nervous that Julius Ndongo was going to get a raw deal there, but the scores were right. What did you think of the fight?
You know, Ricky Burns is a guy you'd like. Obviously, the announcers like him, considering they pretty much labeled him, you know, the living legend. But Ricky didn't have a lot of pop at 135 pounds. He certainly doesn't have any at 140. I think Ricky's best days are behind him. So the only thing right now for Ricky Burns left is, I'm not really sure, because the 135-pound division is really tough, and I don't see him winning another title at 140 pounds. Ndongo did a great job. It was a very one-sided fight, and I think Ndongo might mix up well against Terrence Crawford or Felix Diaz, whoever wins that fight.
You know, I thought that Ndongo was pretty big. He made Ricky Burns look small. How do you think the size difference between him and Crawford will look in the ring?
Crawford's a big junior welterweight. He's not going to be at a junior welterweight much longer. I don't believe. I think in another year or two, Terrence is going to have to move up. So I don't think that would be a problem at all.
Did you get a chance to see the undercard? That Josh Kelly. What'd you think?
I didn't really get a chance to see that. I only had a chance to see the main event through the access that I had.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you on the fights. I mean, the Barrera fight really wasn't anything that was not expected. But what were your thoughts on Dimitri Bivol stopping Samuel Clarkson? I know that you thought that Bivol would win the fight, but do you think he was going to win it in such a commanding fashion?
No, not in such a commanding fashion. Actually, I thought Samuel Clarkson might make a good showing of himself. He's that type of guy where he's not that top level, but you know, he's always in the fight and he's a big, deep guy. But Bivol, we've seen much with Samuel Clarkson like we had seen Bodzic do just a week or two ago against Unicef Gonzalez. I keep saying that these guys over there from Eastern Europe are a whole different breed than the Eastern Europeans that everybody in boxing is used to. These are guys that they can fight in so many different versatile styles, but they prefer to love and come at their guys and run them over, and that's what they're doing right now. This is why I keep saying that, you know, Sergey Kovalev and Andre Warder might be doing each other a favor by having this rematch, because there's a lot of dangerous fighters out there waiting for the both of them, and I don't think that either Ward or Kovalev at this stage in their careers are ready for constant junkies to be have one mindset, not to mention that you're competitive mind.
Yeah, we're losing your sound there. Can you still hear me, Sal?
I hear you fine.
Okay,
fine.
Yeah, we were losing Dax's sound.
But, yeah, you faded down.
Anyway, Dax, I don't know if you corrected that or whatever, but what's going on in the world of social media?
Well, everybody is, you know, they all have the same questions. First of all, what they're wondering about is the Canelo and Chavez pay-per-view. Exactly what do they think they're doing with this? You know, it's a horrible undercard. Jojo Diaz and Manuel Avila might even be better than the main event. The other fights that are on there is pretty much, you know, it might even kill the pay-per-view buys on there. I'm not sure what's going through the minds of Golden Boy Promotions, which, you know, is another question. People are wondering, is Golden Boy Promotions getting a little bit too over-anxious with the idea that they're going to have a Canelo versus Lemieux match? Considering David Lemieux was on that card against Marcos Reyes, who's a former Chavez Jr. opponent, Could they be overlooking Chavez Jr., and could they be actually hoping that this is going to set up some sort of mega fight? Whether it does or it doesn't, I don't know. After we had a card a couple of weeks ago, like the undercard, or like the complete card of Lomachenko and Sosa event, how are you going to go out there and put on a pay-per-view with this type of quality?
Yeah, we keep dropping Dax's sound.
I hear him. Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully we can get that resolved. But I was curious to know what's being said about, you know, this week we have coming up, we have the Andre Berto and Sean Porter fight, and I'm looking forward to. I don't know why, but I kind of am. In any event, now I'm hearing stuff back from Dax, which we're gonna have to make some changes there. But anyway, let me take a short break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll get this stuff straightened out. We'll be right back in two.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Hey, fight fans! Check out KOFantasyBoxing.com. KO Fantasy Boxing is boxing's only trademarked fantasy game. Check it out, www.kofantasyboxing.com. Select your own gym, your own fighters, track them through a season that can last from 3 months to a year, depending upon which league you join. You got to check this out, man. www.kofantasyboxing.com. Join it today. Again, www.kofantasyboxing.com, and tell them Billy C sent ya.
Now let's dig into our archives and hear a rare interview when Billy C. first became the champion of boxing talk radio. Hello, Billy C. As the new champ, can we ask you a few questions?
Why, certainly.
Okay, your fans would like to know how you and your corner have successfully walloped the competition.
We're not ordinary people. We're morons.
Anything else?
I'm a victim of circumstance.
Did your success finally come when you made the show 5 days a week for 2 hours? What do you think?
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Now, please tell the listeners what you've learned from making it this far.
Certainly. If at first you don't succeed, keep on sucking till you do succeed.
Great words of wisdom, Billy C. Keep up the great work as the undisputed people's champion with your show, Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. Any last words to anyone who's listening?
This is your fault, you bonehead.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now, or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts! Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning.
Now back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. Check out the new website, www.billycboxing.com. And if you have any complaints or anything, just email Jeremy C. Yeah, Jeremy C. is on the case, and he will take care of all of your emails. Just feel free to email him as much as you want. And if you need his email address, just look for it. It's up there. Well, we're going to see if Dax, we can hear Dax. Dax, anything going on in social media that we need to know about?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I also hear me in the background, which you got to stop. We're going to have to move forward, man, because we got the restrictions now with TV, and I can't, unfortunately, I can't do it. But, Sal, my thing here is with the... Chavez Jr. situation. What do you think his father can do, if anything? And like what Dax was saying before, The issue here is maybe we shouldn't expect the same from Sun. It's a discipline issue, and I really think that we shouldn't not expect him to give it his all. What's your thoughts on this,
Billy? I'll tell you, it's definitely something that's sensitive, something that's emotional, something that's an issue. You have a father who was one of the greatest fighters to ever step in a ring, and you know, your whole life growing up seeing this and witnessing this and hearing the stories about this legend that is your father, it could be rewarding, intimidating, a lot of things. But as any father could say to their son, their loving son, if I was to say something to, you know, my son wants to become a fighter, if I was to look at Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. and what he could possibly do for his son, maybe in the beginning, maybe it's too late now, I don't know, but it would be something like, son, all right, I love you, you are me, you're a part of me. I want you to follow and listen to my instructions as far as using some of the techniques and some of the things and some of the mindsets of what I used that were helpful. And if you do not agree with me, I want you to show me another way or better way that you think in your style you can have the same benefits as far as conditioning, as far as preparation, as far as what it is. But this is the outline. This is the game book. This is how I formed my style, my career. I don't expect you to ever be me, and I don't want you to ever feel you have to be me. I want you to evolve and be your own fighter. But these are things that were helpful for me, and I think we should implement them until you could show me another way. I mean, that's, I don't know what else to say. That's the kind of talk maybe that a father could have with his son when your legacy, you climb the mountain and are on the top of the world, and just say, hey, son, I don't want you to be me. Don't ever feel you have to be me. I just want you to evolve to be your own great fighter. And this is some of the game plans, is something that I used that were helpful. And until you show me something better, this is the game plan. This is where we stay. That's it.
I mean, do you think that he should threaten leaving him?
Well, I think, you know what, at this stage, I mean, say, hey, you know, this is something bigger than both of us right now. I mean, here, you know, I've given my heart, my soul to show you what needs to be done. And obviously, you don't pay attention or you don't pretend to care and to do the things that I suggest you do. So if this is it, you want to be on your own, you know what, guess what? I don't want to see you fail doing the things that you're doing and not the things that I suggest you do. If you fail doing what I suggest is in your best interest, then you know what? I got to live with myself. But you got to choose your own path. And if this is the path you're choosing, guess what? I'm going to leave. And you know what? You might be able to do something better on your own because I tried everything I could. I don't know, Bill. That's a sensitive subject. I don't know. A father leaving his son. But threatening, maybe. Disciplining, maybe. I don't know. It's a hard thing. And, you know, the guy should definitely have the fire in the belly to rise to the occasion and see that this is his chance. This is his big shot. This is the biggest fight of his career. And I'm going to do everything and anything I can to be ready, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it takes. You got to enter that square circle ready to be at your very best. And you know what? His father should help him understand the consequences and understand the value and the importance of this significant fight in one's career.
You know, Sal, one thing that we're always talking about is the fact that most fighters, and especially successful fighters from, you know, the past or even today, have used boxing as a means of bettering their situation, you know, their life in general, what have you. In this particular case, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. benefited from Papa Chavez's success in the boxing ring in terms of financial opportunities, things that maybe he had that Papa didn't have, etc. And that kind of is what helped mold Junior to what he is today, a spoiled, rotten kid. And I think that the bottom line is that's what we see with Junior, Sal. We see a spoiled, rotten kid that, you know, gets everything his way, and he's in a game that's not a game. You don't play boxing, you fight it. And although I do believe that the kid's got some talent, you know, in a sense, I can't say it any other way. He seems to be pissing his opportunities away, and he's had a lot of them. This is just another example of him, you know, holding his breath and stomping his feet and trying to get things his way. I think that, you know, seniors should say, listen, you want to win? Because if you want to win, you got to follow my blueprint. If not, get the hell out of the sport. You know, obviously, this kid doesn't need boxing to survive. And maybe the best thing for Junior is to get out of the sport. He's not going to beat Saul Canelo Alvarez unless he's at his absolute 100% best. I was hoping that he would go into this fight at his best, but it's starting to look like he's going to go in the way he has been for his last several fights, Sal.
Well, Billy, you know, you let's take the sugar off the cornflakes. You're 100% right. I'm trying to put the feel good powder on it, but it's not going to work. You're 100% right. This kid, he's got to bam or get off the pot. I believe myself. And this is the time. This is the, you know what? Every parent wants to have a better future for their son than they had. And this guy, he's had it. And he's had a cakewalk. He's had expectations. He's never lived up to his father's image, which is fine. He's his own fighter. But darn it, if you're not going to give it your all, if you're going to disrespect boxing and the disciplines and the traditions so much and be blatant about it, then you know what? Use it for what it is. Use it as a stepping stone and get the heck out of the sport once you're finished. And that's it. And that's what he might be doing. This might be his last hurrah one way or the other. I don't know. All I know is he's given an opportunity. This guy should rise to the occasion. And I'm just hoping it's rhetoric and it's PR stuff and it's just stuff that they want to do to confuse the Canelo Alvarez camp as far as what kind of fighter is going to show up. Hey, it could be. Could be. You never know. They never, never know.
You know, here they are in the chat room. Whoa, where's my mug? What the hell?
Oh, wait till you see. I'm going to, not only do I have my mug, I'm going to be two-fisting a mug the next show. When my girlfriend got me for Easter, listen, unbelievable. This is the mother of all mugs. This mug could fit my whole 10 cups of coffee in the whole mug.
You got the
and
mug.
And we can see what it's going to say. And I'm going to draw your face with a Sharpie on it. It's going to be a life-size face. Wait till this mug debuts.
You got the mother. You got the mother of all mugs. Hey, I just want to say this.
Like a stepchild.
Everybody in the chat room, you know, Jeremy popped into the chat room, and now they're all giving him praise because of the website. All I'm going to say is everybody better slow down giving Jeremy praise. His ego gets so big. Now I'm going to have to – you watch. And I'm going to try to have to call Jeremy, and the next thing I know, he's going to put me through to his secretary to set up an appointment with him. You know, guys, please, don't stroke him too much because, you know, he gets out of hand. I mean, you know, he's typical. You know, I mean, you give him a couple accolades. Next thing you know, he's going to have his girl contact me. It's terrible, but – hey, I just want to make a very important statement, Sal. I want to comment on your, you know, taking the sugar off the cornflakes. You know, I don't know. I want to tell this. You know, I happen to have been a fan of Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes for years. You know, I kind of like the sugar on the frosted. Well, they've come out with a new one. It's cinnamon toasted frosted flakes. And let me tell you, it sucks, man. It's nowhere near the regular frost. If anybody hasn't tasted the cinnamon frosted flakes, don't bother. It's not very good. Have you tried those yet, Sal?
No, but I'm going to go to the store today. You just promoted them. I'm going to go to the store today and pick them up. I'll let you know Wednesday. But I'll tell you what. They're trying to get the feed off the success of the little toasted cinnamon squares that are pretty good.
Oh, I like those. I like those little toasted things. That talk about. All I recommend is if you're a diabetic, stay away from those. But anyway, we got a lot of stuff coming up later in the week, Sal. We got our blast from the past, as per request. Leon Spinks is who we'll be talking about on the next show. And speaking of the next show, we are doing a show. Our next show will be Wednesday. But then after that, we will be doing shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then from here on out, 5 days a week, unless we have you know, something going on with our schedule. So we will be off tomorrow, but we will be back Wednesday. We will be here Thursday, and we will be here Friday. Things are shifting into gear, and we will be doing the show 5 days a week again, beginning on Monday. And if that something changes and we have to prolong it again, I will let you know. But we won't be here tomorrow. We will be here Wednesday. We will be here Thursday. We will be here Friday. We will be doing a post-fight show on Saturday after the Andre Berto-Sean Porter fight. And that may make us do the show Wednesday, Friday, Saturday instead of Thursday. So I'll let you all know on Wednesday. I apologize for the craziness with all of this. But, you know, now that we got to wait for Jeremy C. To update the site, and we got to make some changes. And I got some commercials I'm supposed to be running that I'm having some technical difficulties with. So we will be looking into all of that stuff as the week moves on. But things are moving along nicely, Sal.
They are. We're very excited about all the changes. Website's great.
Whoa. What did I just tell you about the website? Don't be saying it's how great it is because we got to deal with Jeremy.
It took me a half hour to download it and to find the chat room.
Well, see? Good. See, now you should be complaining to Jeremy about that. You know, you know, the bottom line is, you know, every time somebody says, oh, it's great, it's great, there goes Jeremy's head. It gets another bigger. Right now, he's got to buy a station wagon to fit his ego in the back. You know, I mean, it's getting out of hand. He's getting out of hand. You know, it's time that listen, I took the chains off him a little bit this weekend, but now I think we got to put him back on.
Oh, boy, you know him better than I do.
Yes, I certainly do. I don't even think you know him, to be honest with you. But anyway, on this day in boxing history, boys and girls, April 17th in 1967, Nino Benvenuti wins a 15-round decision over Emil Griffith to win the world middleweight title. It took place at Madison Square Garden in New York City. On this day in 1900, Matty Matthews knocks out mysterious Billy Smith mysteriously, in the 19th round to win the world welterweight title. It took place in New York City. On this day in 1979, Jim Watt. What? Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Watt.
W-A-T-T,
knocks,
right?
He knocks out Alfredo Petulia in the 12th round to win the vacant WBC world lightweight title. It took place in Glasgow. On this day in 1893, mysterious Billy Smith knocks out Tom Williams in the second round to win the world welterweight title. That took place in Brooklyn, New York on this day in 1893. On this day in 2004, Chris Bird retains his IBF world heavyweight title when he fights to a 12-round draw with Andrew Galata at Madison Square Garden. And on this day, April 17th, in 1939, Joe Louis knocks out Jack Roper in the very first round to retain his world heavyweight title, and that took place in Los Angeles, California, on this day in 1939. Any final thoughts, Sal?
No, Billy, I think you hit them all, pal. I think it was a very good show, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen as we evolve.
Well, I will tell you this. A lot of good things are going to happen. But listen, boys and girls, make sure you tune in Wednesday morning. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na